We have many, many broadcast partners. One of them that's in the Washington, D.C. area is Ken Timmerman. And Ken looks at geopolitical activities with us. Ken, let's get underway. Lots to talk about. The Russian soldiers are massed along the Ukrainian eastern border. Someone has said about 100,000 of them. That border, 1,400 miles long. They have all their military armament there. They do not know exactly what Vladimir Putin is going to do. Is he going to give the command to enter and take over the eastern Ukraine? Or will he just send the troops back home? They call it a military exercise. Looks pretty tense at this point in time. Do you have any thoughts about it and what may happen?
Well, that's right. They're calling it a military exercise and trying to take international attention away from it. But if you are sitting on the other side of that, it sends a very clear message. This is an effort to intimidate the government of Ukraine, but it's also an effort to intimidate other former members of the Soviet Union. Look at the Baltic states, for example. They are very concerned about these troop movements. They know that the Russians would like to retake some of those territories. Kaliningrad, in which is also on the Baltic, but in Germany, they would like to retake that. Putin has said he would like to come to the rescue of Russian minority populations in other countries. This is very reminiscent, Jimmy, of something that we heard 60, 70 years ago in Nazi Germany when they invaded Czechoslovakia and Poland to rescue German minorities. It's a dangerous situation. It's ominous. It's clearly saber-rattling. I don't believe that Putin intends to invade just yet, but he certainly is trying to gauge the international reaction and how strongly we will stand up to him.
I read an article just before we went on the air, Ken, talking about a professor in the Boston area, a professor of naval war college operation, and indeed he says that by the end of the week we'll either see another world war or the troops will go home from the border there of the Ukraine back to Moscow and around Russia. What are your thoughts?
Well, I certainly hope that the troops go home, and my expectation would be that they go home, but I will say this, if Putin actually launches an attack, he will prove himself to be one of the gutsiest, boldest, most ruthless leaders in the last 100 years.
Wow. Wow. That is a condemnation. The G7, now that because they threw Russia out, which was the G8, because of that, Brazil, China, and India have come to support the Russians for what they're doing. Is that significant at all, or is it just political activity?
Well, this is significant, Jimmy, and it shows that the Russians are not just sitting back and taking the diplomatic slight that the United States and our European allies and Japan have extended to them. I think the Russians are clearly trying to test the resolve of the West. That's what you're seeing with these troop movements as well. If we do not take stronger measures to keep Putin contained, then you may see him become more aggressive. So he's reaching out clearly on the diplomatic front. He is trying to extend Russia's economic reach into China and has pretty much taken the fangs out of the Western sanctions on Russian oligarchs and the Russian oil and gas industry by selling the extra oil and gas that would have gone to the West to communist China. So he is looking for other alternatives. He's trying to shore up an alternate alliance, and this is looking more and more like the Cold War.
Well, let's think about China just a moment. You mentioned China, and I ask you about them. It looks like there's a report coming out of China from their military buildup that soon their submarines are going to be capable of having a nuclear warhead on board. Boy, that does not sound good.
Well, an advanced nuclear warhead capable of reaching targets 4,000 miles away, which it means essentially that they can reach the continental United States without going too far away from their own borders. This is something that has been in the works for a long time. China's military modernization began in the 1990s under the Clinton administration. It was enabled by the Clinton sell-off of military technologies to communist China, something I exposed and wrote on extensively during the 90s. I got fired for Time magazine for writing about this. when the Clinton administration sold off the production gear of the B-1 bomber plant in Columbus, Ohio. This was in 1994. So we've seen this coming for some time. The Chinese have shown themselves very successful at incorporating advanced Western technology into their weapon systems, and they are building at a furious rate. You know, this report that we've seen from Admiral Locklear, who is the commander of the U.S. Pacific Command, says that the Chinese will have a fleet of 60 to 70 submarines over the next 10 years, nuclear submarines for the most part. They currently have about 8 or 9 nuclear submarines, including 5 missile-launching submarines. So this is really a very, very potent nuclear strike force that the Chinese are building. And we just don't know, we still don't know how many warheads the Chinese have, how many nuclear-tipped missiles they have, because they're not really reporting them to us.
Let's shift to the Middle East right now. In Egypt, we see some very interesting developments unfolding. The defense minister and the head of the Egyptian military, al-Sisi, has resigned. He has now announced he's running for president of the country. Two-part question. Is this good for the Egyptians, or is it a return to the old Mubarak days when it was military hard control?
Well, you know, that's going to depend. It's a glass half empty, glass half full situation, Jimmy. I happen to think it's the glass half full, and I am less concerned by General al-Sisi than I would have been by just about any other military leader in Egypt. Obviously, time could prove me wrong, but I think al-Sisi has shown that, number one, even though he himself is a devout Muslim and has made it very clear that he is a devout Muslim, he has no patience for the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, he has declared them to be a terrorist organization and is ruthlessly cracking down on the Muslim Brotherhood. This can only be good for Egyptian society. The Brotherhood has shown itself to be an extremely destructive force. In just 1 year in power under Mohamed Morsi, they were essentially tearing Egyptian society apart. The result of that we saw when 30 million Egyptians rose up last July and demanded the resignation of Mohamed Morsi as president. That's when General al-Sisi and this temporary military command stepped in. So I tend to think that General al-Sisi running for president, that this is a positive development. Again, events could prove me wrong.
Let's talk about President Obama for a moment. He's been into Europe, meeting with the European Union, meeting with the NATO leadership. He has also been into Rome, Italy, met with the Pope, and then off to Saudi Arabia. Talk to me about President Obama's travels, in particular, meeting there at the Vatican with the Pope and then into Saudi Arabia.
Well, I was very curious about this trip to the Vatican, and I'm sure many of our listeners have heard some of this on cable TV, is the discrepancy between the accounts given of the meeting between the Pope and the President by the Vatican and the White House. To listen to Obama, the two talked about world poverty. To listen to the Pope and to the Vatican, the Pope remonstrated the president for trying to persecute Catholics with his Obamacare legislation that would require them to provide certain kinds of birth control to women, abortifacient in particular. So, who is telling the truth? Is the president telling the truth, or is the Vatican telling the truth? I mean, it's really a pretty extraordinary situation, and all of these commentators that you've heard trying to make excuses and say, well, this is really quite normal. This is not quite normal at all, and I can't remember really ever hearing such a discord in two official accounts of a very high-profile meeting that I can remember.
What about the trip to Saudi Arabia? Real quickly, maybe 15 seconds.
Well, Saudi Arabia, he announced that he's going to provide surface-to-air missiles, air defense missiles, to the Syrian rebels. This you will read all about in my new book on Benghazi. It's called Dark Forces. What I think Obama is trying to do is ex post facto, after the fact, he's trying to say, okay, now I'm going to authorize what we've already done. It's already been done. It was done illegally, and now he's trying to do it and say it's being done publicly. All of this is in my book on Benghazi, coming out in June, Jimmy.
coming out in June. Ah, the teaser's there. I can hardly wait to read it. Ken Timmerman in the Washington, D.C. area, looking at geopolitical activities for us. It's essential we understand the headlines, but also the details which Ken has brought to our attention. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. My pleasure.